mentioned this morning from the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus' transfiguration, I am actually stopping at the end of verse 36. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of what he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, so often in life we become weighed down with worries and cares, and it seems that darkness enfolds us. We give you thanks for those reminders in the life of our church. When you tell us that you are in our midst, when you show us those moments of light and glory, and all we can do is stand and look with awe and with wonder. Be with us, O God, as we prepare for the Lenten journey ahead, but keep us focused always on the light of your presence, which leads us to Easter morn. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, as often is the case when our soloist sings, I think that was one of those moments when we are transported. We are so lucky to have such wonderful musicians in our midst. Well, I've pretty much had it with winter this year, and I'm a winter person. It's been a tough 6 weeks of ice and wind, and it's made it hard, I think, to get out and enjoy the season. It seems to me that it's been harder than most, but then I was thinking the other day, maybe that's because I'm aging and every year gets worse, I don't know. But I do know that every day this winter that I planned to go snowboarding, we had an ice storm. And yesterday, as I headed out to the first regional council meeting of our newly structured United Church, I hit a pothole. I ruined a tire, and I spent the whole morning dealing with that instead of hanging out with my colleagues. Okay, maybe that's a bad example because I didn't really want to go to the meeting anyway. But if you happen to have hit a pothole this winter, you'll share my pain. They are big and they are bad. We've also had a record number of people in the hospital these past few weeks as well, and that's always a sign, I think, of just how hard the winter has been. So I am done with winter, and I know that if I've had enough, then all of you have probably hit your limit about 6 weeks ago when the bad weather started. Winter has just been a really tough go this year. Well, I don't know how the rest of you feel about this, But it's been a tough go the past weeks or so with the Gospel of Luke as well. He's had a lot to say about how we should live our lives. And if you think it's been hard to listen sitting in the pew, I can tell you it has been equally as hard to prepare and to preach the sermons on the Gospel of Luke. Luke doesn't let us away with much. He has a way of getting right to the point, and he doesn't leave much room for wondering. He tells us pretty clearly how we should be living our lives, and it's hard to listen, and it's even harder to follow. Turn the other cheek. Forgive when no one else will. Be kind. Be compassionate. Luke has a whole list of traits he feels we should personify. And I say Luke, not Jesus, because the Jesus in Luke's gospel is much more direct than in the other gospels in laying out appropriate behavior for those who wish to follow. So I need a break. We all need a break, I think, because Lent begins this week, and Lent is a lot like the last few weeks of winter. You know, you sometimes wish it would just end so you could get to the light of Easter morn. I'm not sure, actually, how much people know about the seasons of the church year. You probably wonder why we tell you what season it is in the bulletin each week. But just like we have seasons in the world, we have seasons in the life of the church. And we're just finishing up the post-Epiphany season right now. You know, Epiphany is that season when we recognize and we remind each other that the babe born in the manger is the long-awaited Messiah. And then we spend a few weeks looking at the call to follow him. That all makes perfect sense. But then we lead into the season of Lent, which is a season of sort of somber reflection on our lives as followers of Christ. So especially when you've been dealing with Luke's challenges, it's been a long stretch of sort of heavy reflection since Christmas. So thank goodness for sunshine today. Thank goodness for Transfiguration Sunday. It's a wonderful break from all of the heavy theological pondering. It's a glimpse of light before the darkness of Lent. It's just sweet relief, really. It's a chance to just feel good about our faith and celebrate the wonder and the mystery of it all. It's a chance to step back from all of the pondering and reflecting, and from being hard on ourselves for not being the faithful followers we want to be. It's a chance to just soak up the rays of light that remind us that Easter will come, spring will come, the heaviness will be lifted. I even decided this week I wasn't going to consult any commentaries because I don't really care this week what the deeper theologically and historically and exegetically sound explanation for the passage today is. I'm just drawing my own conclusion this week, and a totally superficial one at that. And here it is. Sometimes, even as faithful followers, we need to allow ourselves to be pampered. We need to sit back and bask in the light of the love of Christ and just be. Be enriched, be transported, be reminded that our God is a God of grace and love, who brings hope when there seems to be none, brings light when darkness seems to enfold us, brings joy when despair seems to have taken a firm and relentless hold on our spirits. Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop, shining, glowing. Sometimes, you know, that's as theologically profound as it needs to be to lift our spirits and keep us journeying toward Easter morn. And thanks be to God for that. Okay, I'm going to admit to you at this point that I lied when this sermon started. Sometimes ministers lie for the sake of a good sermon, but don't tell anyone I said that. I am tired of the worst of winter, but this week when I checked the forecast and saw the prediction for sun and warmer temperatures and fresh snow, I booked myself an overnight stay at Blue Mountain. And after I psyched myself up all over again for that first ride of the season on the chairlift, and I remembered all over again which foot gets strapped into the bindings and which hangs loose and which side of the chairlift you need to sit on and which way you turn when you get off the lift so as not to take down any skiers, because skiers hate snowboarders, I conquered my fears. And as I stood at the top of Blue Mountain, I heard the words of our gospel reading afresh. And I remembered what it is to put aside all of our doubts and our fears, and I just delighted in the beauty of the snow and the bay in the distance and the glorious rays of light that felt like they were shining just for me. Because I so needed that little time away. I so needed to be reminded that even in the midst of winter, there is beauty and light and warmth. That's not Blue Mountain, by the way. I wish it were that beautiful at Blue Mountain. That's courtesy of my eldest son, who was backcountry boarding in Revelstoke this week. You know, when you drop a 36-year-old off at the airport, he just says, "I'm going boarding out west." And then you get pictures of him out in the backcountry. And I said, "Oh, that's cool. I know one of the guides out there. Who was your guide in the backcountry?" And he said, "Oh, we didn't need a guide. We had shovels." Yeah, those are the kids you hear about on the news, and it's never good. Winter is long, it's hard, and it's full of challenge. Life is long, and it's hard, and it's full of challenge. In order to deal with those stretches where we might be tempted to hide in the darkness, where we might be tempted to give into our doubts and our fears and our misgivings about God and His love, we need to always be open to the moments of light. We need to always believe that even in the midst of darkness, there is indeed a crack where the light gets in. So never turn your back on those moments of wonder and awe. Never give up hope that at the end of the darkness, there will be light. Continue to believe that even in the midst of our Lenten journey ahead, there will still be moments of joy. There will be moments of love and grace, for we are always and without doubt an Easter people. Thanks be to God for shining through the darkness, for bringing hope where there seems to be only fear, for granting us always the strength and the courage to journey on.